Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country. The kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 64 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and as always, I am joined by Christian Hoffer and Megan Peters.
Hello. Hello. I am physically present for tonight's episode, or today's episode. I don't even know what time it is.
What time is it, Hoffer? Just give us your best guess.
I don't know. It's 12:03 p.m. And that's because
if there's one thing I can count on at the start of every podcast recording, it's Christian's totally deadpan. Yep, I'm here. I'm alive.
Here I promise. I am. The excitement will come back when this pandemic is finally over in 2022.
I expect whenever it's over and we're doing it, this podcast back how we were, that like when we throw it to you, that you just start breaking out into song. Full on Disney musical style. I'm holding you to it.
I'll tell you what, when we are finally back, when we are out of the pandemic and I am not in my home office for 50 to 60 hours a week, I'll come up here, I'm going to pour myself a shot, and when Jim introduces the podcast, you will see me immediately like throw one back in celebration. And that's we'll do the podcast live. No editing.
There we go.
All right. Well, so this is in case you were not sure, this is a podcast about Pokemon, we swear. We cover a whole bunch of Pokemon stuff. In the first part of our show, we do really the top headlines of the last week or so. We take a little break. We come back. We do a deep dive on a bigger discussion of the week. And then at the very end, Christian gives us the Pokemon fact of the week. Sometimes we read reviews on the show. If you leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and we read it on the air, you can get a free comicbook.com t-shirt. Not like the one I'm wearing in the video. This is our old one, one of the new ones.
Jim will drive by your house with a t-shirt gun.
Yeah, with a t-shirt cannon.
Shoot Ka-chunk. A t-shirt cannon. You will shoot a t-shirt.
That would be a ton of fun.
That through would your be window. Fun, but also, that's a really great way for us to get in trouble.
All right, let's just jump into some of the Pokemon news of the week because it's only 3 minutes in and we've already gone on a tangent. Okay, so we have some Pokemon card news to hit first. I'm going to shuffle some of the news around, Christian. I'm sorry. Because it's another week, and another Pokemon card has been sold for a staggering amount of money.
See, yes, we were right. If you listened to our last episode, solid investments, man. Solid investments.
All right, Chris, you want to tell us about this one?
So this is another Pikachu Illustrator card. So these cards were given out as rewards for a Japanese contest in which people submitted Pokemon card illustrations. And the winners were given one of these special commemorative cards. So this is similar to that number one trainer card that we talked about not too long ago, which was a reward for winning, certain Pokemon card tournaments. So these are incredibly rare. I believe they think that there's only like 10 or so in existence. I think originally there were about 29, I think is the number. I could be wrong. Somewhere in that 20 to 30 range was how many originally were given out. Right now there's like 10 in current, like we know of 10 that are out there today. One of them sold for $233,000. which broke that card's same previous record of, I think it was like $202,000. So this thing is going for big money. Part of the reason is that unlike the number one trainer card, which is a little bit more rare than this, this card features an illustration by the original designer of Pikachu. It's a little bit more flashy. It's got that Pikachu factor, where if you listen to our interview last week, you know, all kind of like factor into driving up the value of this particular card. So it's going for big money. Hopefully it gets to its buyer in one piece and doesn't get stolen in the mail, which I expect that to be like the follow-up news story here. In, like,
if the Pokemon, if the Pokemon was Charizard, would it have sold for more?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think so. I really just said that just to be kind of a dick, but.
I hope it wouldn't. There's so many.
I think that the value of this card, you know, is specifically, it is an illustration by the original Pikachu, you know, designer. And there's only like a few dozen of these cards in existence. Not even a few dozen, like two dozen or less cards in existence. Now, if that would have been like the original, like Charizard art, you know, I don't know. I just don't think there's a, as much of an appeal for like Charizard holding a drawing pen. Yeah. Like, yeah. I just don't think that really like appeals to that collector's mentality in the same way as like, because Pikachu is like clutching this like giant paintbrush or pen with like all four of its chubby little limbs, and this is also chubby Pikachu.
It is chubby Pikachu, and it's adorable. I mean, the artwork is just really cute. So
So
I think also too, for me, it's not that I don't like these cards. I just wish that more of the cards that we are seeing on the auction block go for like insane amounts of money were actual cards and not just like the trainer cards, whatever, but like Pokemon, like Pokemon on them with battle stats and all that jazz.
Well, if you remember, Jim, going back to our interview that we did last week, someone start keeping a running timer because I'm going to reference this interview as much as I can. So I hope that like right next on the video, right next to me, is just a running tab of how many times I reference it. You know, it's based on scarcity and.
Right. No, I get that.
All those, all of the cards that we like that first edition Charizard, which we know sells for big money.
Yeah.
The problem is that, you know, because that
there's
card
still
was
too many of them.
Yeah, that card was in, you know, in packs. You know, so there were thousands made as opposed to like 30. You know, that's a big difference. And I don't think that the Pokemon company will ever actually go and be like, "Yep, we're only going to make like 30 of this specific actively used Pokemon card." Now, if they ever did that, because Magic kind of does something like that, where they've got like these secret, what is it, like I forget what they're exactly called, but they just did it with like the Godzilla tie-ins.
Yeah.
Where, you know, not only did they have like, you know, so Magic the Gathering released a bunch of Magic cards that were reskinned to feature different Godzilla, you know, kaiju, and you know, they came out with a variant version of those cards, which were like full art cards, and there was like a limited amount made. I don't play Magic. I've never played Magic. I have next to no interest in Magic. I wanted those freaking cards, but I couldn't justify paying like $125 for them, or because that was like the retail price. And there was only a few hundred, I think. I think they limited it to like 500 or 1,000. I'm guessing, you know, those cards are like literally printed to be sold on the secondary market for big amounts of money, because Godzilla fans are going to want those. Magic fans are going to want them, and they look
and just
freaking awesome.
And they're really cool.
So like if the Pokemon company does ever go that direction, which, you know, they've resisted that urge for 22 plus years. Yeah, I think that could be, and I feel like it's almost like, I don't want to say it's too late, but, you know, there's a big difference between who Magic the Gathering is catering to, which are adults, you know, with disposable income. Like, even, you know, that, like, you go to a Magic tournament, and the bulk of the people you see there are grown adults, not even, like, teenagers.
Well,
which is, you know,
I think I think the time that for Pokemon, like the, if there was ever a time for Pokemon to do it, it was during the X and Y re-release of the, you know, original set, right? Like that you could have done golden ticket-esque kind of things. Like, sure, you know, there were re-releases of all the base cards, but like, what if they slipped in, you know, a variant on the Charizard or a variant, you know, on whatever that was super limited. That would, I mean, that would have just drove people buying boxes of that stuff.
Yeah. Like it would
try and find,
it would have been really cool if they had with that set, if they had gone and done something like we're going to release a variant with like new art by the, you know, person who did the original card.
Yeah.
Like that would have been really cool. Like there are cool opportunities. I think that, you know, it's a huge untapped market. I think also that the Pokemon company knows that. And if we ever see, like, you know, the Pokemon company, like that, the card games start to like falter a little bit, you know, I do think that we'll see the game get reinvented to start appealing more to the hardcore fan. Right now, there's just not a need for it. You know, like, I will talk about this a little bit later, but I did a demo for this Battle Arena box that's, you know, out now in Target and will be coming out to mass retail here this week. And, like, a big part of that was, you know, a big reason why they're coming out. It's like, yeah, we get all these new kids coming into the game every single year because they all love Pokemon. And no one knows how to play the Pokemon card game.
Well, usually, I mean, like, I think this came, it came at perfect timing. We can just kind of jump right into it, right?
Yeah.
Where a lot of people would learn by watching other people play. And there's no tournaments going on, right? Like, there's no, like, I remember as a kid watching older kids play at tournaments, and that's basically how I learned. And, like, those tournaments aren't happening right now. And so, like, I'm sure, like, the battle arena was obviously not made, like, oh, crap, you know, it's the pandemic. We need to put something out, right? Like, this was obviously planned way before that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the timing couldn't be more perfect, in my opinion.
So, an interesting fact that I found out when I was demoing the battle arena. So, remember how we talked a few weeks ago about the raid battle concept?
Yeah.
That they just came out with the Pokemon trading card game? That... Originally, the original idea behind that was going to be a kind of like introductory like gameplay mode for kids. So like when they attended to play Pokemon and have no idea how to what Pokemon cards do, this would be a way to kind of teach them the basics. So like this is what damage does. This is what burning or poison or paralysis and things like this. You know, here are these concepts. Here is how HP works, like very basic level stuff. But it's a way for in a non-competitive environment because, you know, my nephew, who's about to turn 11, when I first started taking him to play Pokemon events, he got really frustrated about the fact that, you know, because he had no idea how, you know, to build a deck. And then so they showed him and, you know, we helped him build a deck.
That's still my biggest issue.
He
still
had
can't build a deck properly.
I never know how much energy to put in those things.
Yeah.
But his big thing was, I don't know how to use this deck properly. Like, you know, there were too many moving parts. And part of that was just like, we would go to the pre-releases, which, you know, that's all about cobbling together a deck with based on what you've got. But you know, that was a real frustration with him was he didn't understand some really like basic level stuff. And yeah, it was kind of frustrating for him, like as a 9-year old. So this battle arena box. So I think we've mentioned it before, but I had the opportunity last week to actually go and talk with one of the designers of the box. For a virtual event. And so we talked a little bit about it. And sure enough, it's, you know, it was in planning several years in advance, which is reflected by the fact that it all features GX cards when, you know, the game itself has moved on to V cards. It contains three different decks, two of which come with a kind of like a built-in how do you play this mode. Okay. So it's like, you know, so it actually has like a order your cards in this, you know, in this way. So it like has like, you know, these are full decks, full pre-made decks, and they have like a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on them. And so you put the cards in order and it actually does a step-by-step, this is how gameplay works scenario. Oh, but cool. You can also take those cards and shuffle them together and just go against each other. And they added a third deck, which features Mewtwo, kind of as a way so that basically you don't get bored by just running the same two decks time and time mm-hmm. again. It's got pretty detailed instructions on how to play, like a full-on in ways that you don't often find. Like, you know, when the Pokemon trading card game first came out, I remember there was like a box beginner set. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a box or if it was in like a carton. Yep. And mm-hmm. this to me feels like the first attempt in years to really recapture that.
Mm. That's
also
good.
Also comes with a really cool like oversized coin that they were telling me, it's like, yeah, we brought in kids to play test the coins to figure out like what the perfect size to flip them, you know, like for like actual uh-huh. kids. And it's like, really you cool. know, you would never think of that. Like that to me was really cool. But I think it's a really great product. If you either know someone who's trying to get into the Pokemon trading card game, or if you are a parent whose kid is starting to really get into Pokemon cards, or if you are,
It's been a while.
Yeah. Or if it's been a while, because there have been like rule changes, and stuff that. The box is only, I think, like $20. You can buy it now at Target. It'll soon be available for a wider retail release, I believe, like literally this week. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm planning on getting it, I mean, mainly for my fiance, because he inherited a bunch of like Pokemon cards, and like I've gone through them, I've made decks with them, and like I have all of my collection, but he has no idea how to play the trading card game. And like I've tried playing games with him to explain it, but like it just makes like me turn red and like steam like I'm in an anime getting very angry because like I don't have the patience to explain. I'm just like, I just want to play, I just want to do this. So when I heard this was coming out, definitely was like, all right, well this will be a good kind of like step-by-step way to do it. And also I have a bunch of friends with kids who that, I mean, anytime they see any of the Pokemon stuff in my house, they're like, oh my gosh. So I'm really excited on just like turning my neighborhood into like a little fortified Pokemon trading card game army.
Nice. All right. Also on the trading card game front, we're getting a new expansion called Champion's Path.
This is go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. No, go for it.
This is the kind of like every year for the last like few years, we've gotten a like mini expansion that is only available in like box sets, and Champion's Path is this year's like box set special expansion.
I like that it comes with gym badges.
It does. It does come with the Galar gym badges. I had to take a look here because I'll be 100% honest. Controversial opinion time. I freaking hate the Galar gym badges. They look ugly. Largely because they're meant to all like fit together.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, to like be like a weird metal thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it like forms like, you know, a medallion, which is cool. I like that. But just like the individual badges look ugly. And so I was like really worried that these badges would be these like ugly, you know, asymmetric, like squiggly lines things. But from the looks of them, they all, you know, each, what they're coming out with, each, the different boxes will all have one themed card. So they'll be actually based on the individual gyms of the Galar region. So like they will actually have like the Hullberry gym, you know, pin collection is what it's called. Mm-hmm. It'll come with a few, I think three different booster packs, a special card that it is specifically geared towards that gym. So like Hullberry, for instance, has Dreadnought. Mm-hmm. And it will have a, it looks like, I say that, you know, it does not look like it just has the image that is embedded in the medallion piece, not the actual like medallion, which thank God is all I have to say.
I don't know. I'm pretty pumped. I mean, I haven't collected any like trading card game gym badges in a long time. Like I remember like that was my thing when I was younger, like going to the Toys R Us, like at my Toys R Us where the tournaments were held was like right outside, like where like the bathroom hallway was. So it was very cramped and they would have like a little badge ceremony. And like, I still have them to this day. They're all in this like little like Jigglypuff pouch that I had when I was a little kid.
Oh my God. I love that.
Yeah. Still have them. I'll have to bring them out for the next and like yep, wear
next
them.
Next week.
Like,
I want to see them.
Yeah, like my Kanto and my Johto and all that stuff. But like this, really excited. So I'm definitely getting this box. And I don't have anyone to really do a tournament with. So I guess I'll just have a ceremony of one and give them to myself. I'll just pretend I'm Leon for a little bit and just like stick my finger up to the sky. It's
and
fine.
Then you'll literally hear me from several states away heckling you.
Hey, it's fine. That's fine. Cool. That's more like human interaction than I've had since this began. So,
God, that's so sad. On that note, let's take a quick break. We have a few more things to hit in the news break section, but you know, we got to pay for the show. So, when we get back, we'll talk about that and Pokemon Go Fest.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, let's hit these two other news items, knock them out of the way, and then get moving. So on the anime front, Christian and Megan were both right.
Yes, I knew we were both right. Still does not, like, lessen the impact. So basically, in Japan, we got our new episode of Pokemon, which I discussed in the last episode that Hoffer so gracelessly, you know, just shrugged off. But basically, Ash and Pikachu, like, get into it. They get really mad at each other. Ash straight up calls Pikachu lazy for not training. Whoa. And I was like, that is the most out of character thing, because this is not the kind of respect Pikachu deserves after like defeating literal mythical Pokemon. So let's just have that conversation. So Pikachu, rightfully so, is like, I'm out of here. He runs away with Mr. Mime back to Pallet Town, where they run into Ash's mom. And then ensues like the most emotional, like, 15 minutes of a Pokemon episode I've seen in a long time. Like, Ash's mom, like, cuddles Pikachu in bed and sings Pikachu the lullaby she used to sing Ash. And Pikachu, like, starts to tear up. And then, like, the next morning, Ash comes out of nowhere and they reconcile and it's emotional. And then Ash sings that same lullaby to Pikachu that night as the episode kind of comes to a close. So there is some mixed goodies in this episode. Definitely the last 15 minutes were the ones that it felt like the emotional pitch that you wanted for the entirety of the episode. But yeah, they were really only separated for like 10 minutes of the episode, but in like the universe time for like a night. Ash. Ash got his act together quickly because Go told him to, which seems strange to me. But
yeah, I feel like when this episode was originally written, it was probably Go yelling at Score Bunny for being lazy, or maybe Sobble. And they decided to like retool things because Ash hasn't had very much drama this season. Just, you know, my totally unsolicited, have not watched the episode yet thoughts. I've been actually waiting. I'll be 100% honest. You know, because they're coming out with these quarterly releases on Netflix, I think I'm just going to like stick with the you know, US releases instead of like trying to hunt down streams at like 5 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, that's what I did for like X and Y and most of like Sun and Moon. And, you know, not knowing how to, you know, not knowing any Japanese makes those an interesting experience. But, you know, I will appreciate that. I do appreciate, Megan, the fact that you hyped this up on the anime page. You were just taking the drama for all it was worth.
Oh,
and really,
absolutely.
You know, just really ratcheted it up. I was very appreciative of the fact, like, you know, like if reading comic books anime coverage going into this episode, it seemed like inevitable that like Ash and Pikachu were going to like permanently break up. I'm not saying this like sarcastically at all, like, you know, just A plus, like, you know, like I was very much a fan of that coverage, genuinely.
Well, I mean, if Pokemon Journeys is going to treat itself all of a sudden like a soap opera, then I'm gonna cover it like it's a soap opera. I'm gonna give it the treatment it deserves. So that was my line of thinking.
Oh, I love it.
Stay tuned next week in Pokemon Journeys. An egg appears, but whose egg is it?
Da-da-da.
For those who have a Switch and missed the initial boat for Pokken Tournament and you know, wants to maybe give it a spin, now is your chance. Mm-hmm. Because it's got a demo. Live on the Switch.
A full demo.
At last.
Full demo.
Like, what took so long?
I just want another Pokken game.
I do too. I am one of the biggest, like, Pokken fans that there is. Like,
I know we can't get greedy
it.
Because we've been asking for Snap and they're finally giving us Snap, so I'm going to let that one come out.
No, be greedy. It worked the first time. They listened
Did
the first
it work,
time.
Though? We had to ask for that game for 20 freaking years before they
but
gave it to
strangely,
us.
Strangely, you know, like a year after we started our podcast, and we asked for it multiple times. Just
That's
saying.
True.
Just
That's
saying.
True. All we need to do in order to will Pokken 2 into existence is me saying, guys, it'll never happen. That ship has sailed. That ship has sailed. If they were going to make a Pokken Tournament 2, it would have been by now.
They'll do just despite Hoffer.
Exactly.
I did not have my Switch when Pokken Tournament came out. And so I've been on the fence on whether or not I wanted to pick it up because I wasn't sure if I was going to, like, care about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Demo is a ton of fun, but that, like, I know that this is not what the Pokemon company wants to hear. That may be all that I need. I don't know if I need the full game.
So I played Pokken when it came out for the Wii U. Honestly, I kid you not, that was the reason I got a Wii U, was for Pokken. Because I've always wanted a Pokemon fighting game. I actually love fighting games. I'm not, outside of Smash, I'm not super great at them. They kind of like evolved past me. I really like Pokken's, how it goes from the two-dimensional back and forth. And then it switches to a three-dimensional, like,
Tekken
like
style.
It bounces back and forth between those two. I think that's a really clever mechanic. My big criticism with Pokken Tournament, the original game, not the remastered, was the fact that the roster was pretty limited. I think there was only 12 Pokemon in the original, and they upped that to, I think, like 16. They added four more in, like, arcade-only DLC. which they then added in the Switch version, and they added Decidueye as another Pokemon. I really wish that Pokken would have continued to get support. I feel that that game would really benefit from a roster that is more than about like 20. I'm actually going to look this up because like I'm going to
get Emma, I'm looking at it right now, and that's really one of the biggest things that why I think the demo is it for me, mainly because there's not going to be, they're not adding more characters to the roster, and there's only 22-ish.
Oh, yeah. So 22.
Yeah.
I mean, and the support Pokemon are fine. Like, you know, yeah. And keep in mind that Shadow Mewtwo is, one of those. So really there's only 21. So they did end up adding a pretty significant amount of Pokemon from the Wii U version, because Agislash and Blastoise were also newly added, as well as those five DLC characters. There was a fair amount of like new content. There was a total of seven characters that they added from the Wii U to the Switch. So, I think that's enough to justify buying the remastered version. But in this day and age, I think that 21 characters on a roster just really doesn't do it for me. I mean, for crying out loud, like Injustice 2 had that many like DLC characters. I think it was a very solid like first installment, but it definitely needs to be built upon. I definitely want to see like a greater variety of Pokemon. Like honestly, my favorite Pokemon to play as was Chandelure.
Chandelure is it's really hard to play, at least for me, but a beast in professional like esports.
Oh yeah. And I want to see more stuff like that. Like give me some like weird Pokemon. I don't want Charizard. Oh, and they also had Pikachu and also Pikachu Libre. That's why, that's another thing. Where they do have totally different play styles, but still, really, in reality, there's only 20 Pokemon in there. And that was the other one I was, forgetting was, Pikachu Libre and Pikachu. Because those were, two of, the original ones that you got to pick from. And it's really? That's what we're getting? I did like the, but it was cool. Pokemon like Agislash and Suicune. Like, how often are you going to think that of like Suicune, a four-legged Pokemon, being in a fighter game? That's what I want to see more of. Give me the more weird stuff that you do to separate it from literally every other fighting game that's out there, the better. Mm-hmm. I mean, even Smash Brothers, and I am like a massive Smash Brothers fan. Even Smash Brothers is kind of, limited because, how many, for one, a quarter of the roster is Fire Emblem characters.
accurate.
Every time they announce, a new DLC, everyone's like, oh, what is it? What is it? It's like, yeah, we're giving you another dude with a sword. And, everyone, loses their crap.
That's the only thing I don't get. It's one of the reasons why I haven't really played Smash in a while, because it's just a bunch of, either JRPG characters that I just
don't get me wrong, I love Fire Emblem. That franchise is one of my faves. But I do recognize the complaints where it's there's way too many Fire Emblem characters in this game. It's but they only have one four-legged character and it's Ivysaur. You could get really weird with Smash Bros. Now, they did get weird with the Piranha Plant. But, that's, one out of, 70 characters.
This is true.
So, anyways, that's my fighting game rant of the week.
No, it's good. I would definitely do the demo. I think the thing that always upset me with Pokken, just to kind of wrap up my spiel, is at any worlds I've been to or watched for Pokemon, when they do the VG sections and the finals, and they get to Pokken, that room lights up. It is the most hyped that room gets is when the final two players go to play Pokken. I mean, people are like screaming. Like, it is hilarious. And so, like, I feel like it always gets its due as a fighting game too late. And I feel like that has just kind of passed it up, and which is why I will never stop asking for a sequel. So please play the demo, and if you really like it, tell Pokemon Company that we told you to let them know that we want a sequel.
Boom. Nailed it. All right. With that, let's jump into our deep dive discussion for today, and it's all about Pokemon Go Fest.
Pokemon Go Fest.
So what did everybody get?
I managed to plow through all of the, both days worth of quests. And I felt very satisfied by it. I was disappointed. I got zero shinies.
Really?
Yeah. Over two. So Saturday, I probably played for 7 hours. I caught about 400 Pokemon during that.
Wow. And, well, they did expand the limit of Pokemon you could get, which, thank God.
Yeah, I definitely invested some coin into expanding that. Still hit my limit twice. I got no shinies for the entire event.
So did you have the ticket? Like, did you?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I know the ticket had like the quests and whatever. And so like I debated whether or not I was going to do that, but instead I totally rolled with the, just the Pokemon change, the hourly changes.
You just did the tie-in event.
I did the tie-in stuff. Yep.
Yeah. So I got it. I had pre-purchased the ticket. Had you said something, I should have like sent you the code. Because Niantic actually provided me with a free ticket, but I wasn't allowed to give away, or otherwise I would have done something like that. But I could have given it to you. Yeah. It was a 2-day event. Day one was basically kind of like every hour. If you did the event, the full event, every hour was kind of arranged where there was a different challenge, where it was something like, everyone in the world needs to like make 320,000 great throws. And once that task was completed, for the remainder of the hour, you'd get some sort of bonus, whether that was like triple candy, rare candies appearing in gifts. There was all sorts of like cool things. I really liked that. I got plenty of Durant, which was the regional exclusive that I didn't have. They did do like technically 2 sets of regional exclusives. Because they had Seviper and I can't think of the other what his equivalent is. Zagoose or shit. Shouldn't have said that word. Zangoose. That's like I totally blanked on it. So they had those two that you could catch anywhere, which usually they are hemisphere driven, and same thing with Durant and Heatmore also. So I got my regional exclusive for the event, which that was cool. I like the new Pokemon. They didn't really release any like brand new Pokemon that I can remember. They did release Rotom.
I watched a lot of, because I was doing a bit of work, because it was also a Comic-Con day, and so I was watching a lot of different streams on Twitch for people doing it while I was just had an incense on myself. I finally got that Magmar I wanted. Not only did I get a Magmar, I got a shiny Magmar. I don't know why I whispered that, but shiny Magmar is ugly. Yeah, but I got one.
Like most shiny Pokemon.
Like most shiny Pokemon, but this one is exceptionally ugly.
Yeah.
It's like pink.
Yeah, all the yellow is pink, and it's just weird against the kind of red orange that Magmar is. And so that was the thing.
Thanks. I hate it.
I liked that this was something that people who didn't necessarily get the Pokemon Go, Day Fest ticket could also kind of participate in.
Yeah, but they've always done something like that in the past. But, I appreciated that, I was worried that because this was going global, there was no reason to have that tie-in event anymore. From a practical standpoint, You could either buy the ticket or you could not. There was no longer like a geographic excuse.
Yep. There were a lot of people trying to play though, and boy, could you feel it in the game. Like, there was a good stretch of time where I just could not open my friends list. Just would not open.
Yeah, they did to go and shut down some stuff in order to, like, keep the servers running, which is a good thing.
Which is a great thing.
You know, it was funny because Niantic, you know, we wrote an article talking about these slowdowns, and Niantic actually got in touch with me to, like, say, like, hey, could you update your article to say that these problems have been fixed? And I was like, have they, though?
Have they just send back a GIF with them?
Like, I mean, it did get better as the day went on.
Yeah.
But I think it was as it was opening up for each time zone, basically, that you could really feel. But, like, basically once it opened on the West Coast, about an hour into it, it's, you know, it really started to get a bit better.
Yeah, there was a couple of hours where I think that Western Europe and the entirety of the Americas were all in active play. And I think that, and also like Australia and Japan weren't in it, but like the Team Rocket stuff had started because like Team Rocket did this invasion in day two, but all the team, while the event didn't start until 10 a.m., like, all the Pokestops were invaded. The balloons were, like, flying around like it was their job. Like, you know, so, like, people were starting to get into that as well. And so I think that's when they hit, like, their maximum server load. So they shut down Go Battle League. They shut down the friends list for, a hot minute. But eventually, I think everything's, you know, went back up and running. It didn't really... There was, like, maybe 30 minutes that was really, like, severely impacted. And then you just needed to turn off your game and restart, and everything was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was – I mean, I didn't have the ticket. So I wound up going to Centennial Park just to, like, be in my car, still social distance, like, all that stuff. And that's, like, the big place in Nashville to go. And, I mean, in the news these days with social distancing and what's happening in Nashville, we've gotten a lot of flack for downtown with the bars still being open and so many people out. Centennial Park, though, on that day, there were so many, like, and, like, it was groups of people that you could tell clearly came together. And it was just, like, the weirdest, like, it just looked like the whole park was covered in, like, polka dots of people. Because they were all the exact same distance away from each other, but they were all so tightly put together because there were so many clusters of people. Yeah. And I was like, this is A+.
although I had a few issues with raid battles. Like, I basically lost 3 remote passes because my game froze during raid battles. And so, like,
the worst.
I was this close twice to getting a Groudon, and sure enough, I missed it. So that was annoying, but it is what it is.
Yeah. There still needs to be, I will say this, even with the advent of raid, remote raid passes, it is still a struggle to find anyone to raid with, like, locally at a social distance. Like, unless, like, I want to really, like, go out and, like, meet up with a group. I still struggle with it. Like, I'm right by, like, 2 high-traffic gyms. And there were Groudons, there were Kyogres. Like, I wanted to power up my Groudon, too, so I was kind of hoping to get my hands on one or two. And no takers the entire time. There needs to be a way to, you know, indicate, like, hey, I'm going to jump into this gym, or it's like send out a beacon or something saying, hey, someone come and play with me.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I had to wound up going to the park, because I really wanted a Groudon. And I was like, all right, well, I have no one literally where I live, and none of the gyms that are around me are necessarily high traffic right now because of the pandemic. And I was like, well, I know there's some parking lots that I could park in and still be in my car and reach a gym at, like, Centennial, where, like, there's everyone. So it took me a while to finally get in it, but I mean, I finally got in a raid and got the Pokemon. But yeah, it was so frustrating. I had to drive 35 plus minutes to do that, which I guess is more desperate on my part, but determined. I prefer the word determined over desperate.
Yeah. So the Team Rocket stuff was cool. I finally got the Shadow Articuno, the Shadow Zapdos, the Shadow Moltres, which were given out way back last year. I also got Shadow Mewtwo. That, to me, having those is far more exciting than having Shadow or having Victini, which was the mythical Pokemon that was given away as part of all this. So I was pretty thrilled about that. That was fun. That only took me about 90 minutes to do on Sunday, which I also appreciated. they nerfed the difficulty for Giovanni and the gym, like the admins. So that was nice. Because I can take, like, I think there's, out of the three admins, there's one of them that I really struggle with. So I was glad that they were easy to beat this time around.
I also really liked the teases that they dropped with the things like, oh, you know, you've unlocked this. Like, we're going to have the, you know, the Dragon Day is coming up. Mm-hmm. And so I liked, you know, knowing, like, one, that they're actually, you know, pretty good days coming up, but also having that, you know, just kind of tied to the excitement of the event. The one thing that, like, I just don't understand why we do not have yet is long distance trading.
Like, right. Can
you?
Yeah.
Well,
what do you want, Jim? What do you want? Let me see. If I have more than one, I don't know if we're high enough friends to do
that. Yeah, like, that's the issue. You have to be high enough friends to trade, correct?
Yeah, I think, well...
Oh, do you have to be high enough friend level? I thought you had to be at a certain level too. Is that...
I don't know if there's still a level cap. I think it's just, like, you have to be, like, either great friends or best friends. I'm not sure.
Give me a second.
Like, that's the thing that frustrates me.
Meanwhile, they are listeners who are just, like, screaming at their phones or headphones being like, you idiots!
My favorite thing is when Jim says something like, I really wish they had this feature.
And, and then 40 people, like, I had no idea that you can transfer so many Pokemon at once. There's zero place in the app or whatever that tells you can do that. Like, that tells you that you can do that. And so I'm like futzing around trying to figure out how to do this. And so I put a tweet out like that over the weekend and people were like, all you have to do is hold down. And like, it changed my whole life. It changed the way I play the game.
Well, there you go. See, people need to stop immediately yelling and just give a gentle explanation.
Oh, right. So, Jim, we need to be good friends in order to complete the special trade. I don't think we can make this trade, unfortunately, Jim.
Yeah, no, like I know specific Pokemon.
You don't send me gifts.
It does say. So yeah, it says that I'm out of range with trading.
Yeah, your friendship level must be good. A good friend must reach good friend in order to complete special. That's two hearts, right?
Yeah, it's two hearts.
Yeah.
We're like one in a sliver.
Yeah.
So.
Oh well.
Sorry, Jim. But one of these days we'll get there, and maybe on that day I'll be able to trade with you because you can do remote trading. Mm-hmm. Now, you just have to be a certain friend level in order to pull it off.
Yeah. Well, see, like, that's the frustrating thing for me. Just graphics. just start giving gifts, man. Those are kind of a hot commodity with the pandemic. Not as much, but after this past weekend, but still.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, so that's another thing, right? So I have a bunch of friends who are in like New York and LA or whatever, who I'm friends with on Instagram. Or who, like, live in cities, right? Mm-hmm. And so all of their gifts are like postcards from, like, super cool places, like giant murals or statues or whatever. And because I mostly just drive around, you know, my neighborhood or, you know, I'm walking around and I just get the gifts that my partner finds, they're all just Baptist churches. Like, it's just all churches.
Wait, we have to have a conversation. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this. So where... my fiance used to live when we first met each other. Immediately what I do when I first am talking to someone, I'm like, hey, give me your Pokemon Go friend ID so I can be friends with you. I was like, oh yeah, great. So at the time we were in the office, we had a gym. I would give him the little like water fountain, like whatever gifts we would get at the water fountain at our office. Wherever he worked really close to him, there was a like a little Pokestop that he could get gifts from. Good. And when it was sent to me, the little tag it would show me was an anti-abortion mural statue.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I remember the first time I looked at it, I went, what is this? I had Whoa. No idea what it was. I was like, why'd you send me this? And he was okay. like, it's the only gift I had. And I was yeah. like,
well, that, and like, it's like, so it's either for me, it's, and not that there, not that there's anything wrong with churches, right? Like, I mean, that's, it's fine. I go to church and it's great. But like, it's the yeah. only, like, it's like the only thing I have. And like, the pictures aren't even that good. Like, they're shot from like weird angles or they're yeah. blurry because it's just, it takes it from, you know, Google Earth or wherever it takes it from.
Yeah.
But it's either that or Civil War cemeteries. Yeah. I have a few of those around me that I'm just like.
I get parks okay. in the Civil yeah. War kind of like, it's usually like the stone fences, like those like rock
oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
fences that are like historical from the Civil War. It's like, it's yeah. just like, here's a gift. It's a fence.
Yeah. Or like there's a park by my house that has like, you know, pavilions or whatever that, you know, you can set up tables or whatnot. And so she's like, it's the most boring pictures. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. Don't judge me on my gifts.
So, yeah. No, I have a lot of Pokemon friends who are from Japan and like, they'll send like Tokyo Tower or like Sky Tree and all that stuff. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then it's like, here's a fence.
Yeah. So, so yeah. So anyway, I really enjoyed it this year. I thought there was a genuine buzz around it in a way that there, I don't think there has been a buzz on Pokemon Go for a little while. And so, if you missed out on it, there will be more events and stuff to, you know, to come up. But this one I thought was a lot of fun and I enjoyed it. Christian, thoughts?
I liked it a lot. Sorry. I was going through, actually, I don't think remote trading is available. I could have sworn it was, but I don't think it actually is.
No, so, I think it is because I just tried to initiate a trade with you, and on a banner it says you can only trade with friends who are nearby, and then you can't trade a Pokemon that had previously. Oh no, okay, hold on. There's another. Give me another note. If your friend's trainer level is lower than yours, oh, the CP will be adjusted. There's that. There was another thing that said you can like, you need to be great friends. Or good friends. Or special trades can only occur once a day. Oh, now it's just running through, and I don't want to bore everyone through. But I saw a thing that was a banner. But you may be right. I mean, maybe whatever.
Well, I'm sure someone. I've never made it.
Our listeners will tell us if you know we can trade remotely. Please let us know. All right, we've got to get to the Pokemon Fact of the Week because we are running long today. Christian, what do we got?
This week we're on Krabby in our march through the Pokemon, through the Pokedex. And, you know, one of Krabby's notable things is that it produces bubbles, both Krabby and Kingler. In fact, the Gigantamax version of Kingler has this giant bubble beard. Yeah. It's kind of noted that is a, they say it's a defense mechanism is what, you know, it says in the Pokedex. But in reality, it mimics a thing that crabs actually do. Whenever you see a crab on land, a lot of times you will see bubbles foaming out of its mouth. This is not a defense mechanism. This is a byproduct of how it breathes. Because crabs have gills. They are underwater creatures. But when they go on land, in order to keep, like, you know, just as a byproduct of their gills can, you know, continue to produce continue to like oxygenate their blood. But you know, only when their gills are wet. So that byproduct is actually how, you know, those bubbles are a byproduct of how it breathes when it's on land. So, you know, that's just one of those like interesting little facts, of, you know, a Pokemon mimicking its real life equivalent. It's doing something that it does in, you know, nature.
Yeah. This I've always been a big fan of Kingler. Kingler was on my OG team, but the Kingler's Pokedex entries are boring as all hell.
It has a big claw.
Big claw. It's real heavy, and it's got a 10,000 horsepower strength crushing ability. But that's literally it. Mm-hmm. Until you get to Shield, where it says, the bubbles it spews out of its spews out are strongly alkaline. Mm-hmm. Any opponents hit with them will have their bodies quickly melted away.
Yeah, I was actually looking that up.
Oh my gosh! So what? I did not know that.
That's for the Gigantamax form. And Gigantamax. Actually, I think that's a reference to the fact that unlike in humans, where, you know, we have red blood because we have iron in our blood, crabs have blue blood because they have copper in their bloodstream. So I think it's a reference to that because copper batteries and things like that. That's just my guess.
So it's like stock.
But, you know, yeah, I thought that was like, I saw that. I was like, where the heck did they pull this one from? And that's all I got is, you know, crabs have blood with copper in it. So that's why crabs bleed blue.
Now I just have like a horrifying image of like in the Pokemon world. Again, we're pulling back that veneer, just like a nice family vacation. They just wanted to go to the beach. Suddenly, like, Gigantamax Kingler comes out. It's just like, hey guys, and like melts this poor family.
It reminds me of the one scene where in the Godzilla movie, the Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, where, you know, like the monster that Godzilla fights in that is literally like Muck, Gigantamax Muck.
Yeah, it literally is.
You know, there are a couple of scenes where like you see like people's like faces melt off.
This is horrifying. Why would you go to the Galar region?
Same thing.
Wow. I mean, don't go to the beaches in the Galar region, I guess.
You don't go there for, you know, the thrilling championship battles either.
Yes. All right. Well, with that, let's wrap this baby up. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, sometimes at the end of our show, we read listener reviews. We're not this week because we're way over on time. Maybe next week. But
way over.
Head on over to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, and if we read it on the air, you will get a free comicbook.com t-shirt as soon as we're allowed back in the office. So, like I said, I had a few people reach out, and I have promised them that we have not forgotten about them, and there is going to be like a train load of shirts to be mailed out as soon as we're back in. So, we appreciate everyone's patience. We have not forgotten about you. We just can't do anything because they're locked away somewhere. So, with that, tell your friends about the show, or if you want, you want to yell at us for things that we may have said wrongly, like about if there is or not long-distance trading in Pokemon Go or other things, you can find us on Twitter. I'm at Jim Viscardi.
I'm on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at C. Hoffer CBus.
I had someone tag me in a fantastic Geodude cosplay the other day on Instagram that I will probably share on Twitter after we're done recording here, because it was fantastic.
Was it just a rock?
That's not funny.
Triggered.
So with that, like I said, the show, new episodes are every Thursday wherever podcasts can be found. If this is your first time, we hope you had a blast, and we hope to see you again next week. If you are a longtime listener, God bless you, because we love you. So until next time, folks, we'll catch you later.